when in January, a group of us from St. Peter's arrived at the Tel Aviv airport, and we got off the plane and were then going to the bus. The couple, Mary Jane and Deacon Tom, said to, I think maybe many of us, but they said to me, after this trip, you will never read the Bible in the same way. And it's absolutely true. And a day like today is one of those particular days when, again, I get to use show and tell. For here we have the church at Ein Kerem. Ein Kerem is about 10 kilometers from the city of Jerusalem. And this is the church that is now on the spot where today's gospel reading occurred, where Mary came to Elizabeth. But here's the point. Mary didn't just travel from Jerusalem to Ein Kerem. She traveled all the way from Nazareth to Ein Kerem. It's about 100 kilometers. Now, I was in the Holy Land in January, where the temperatures would have been in the high teens, low 20s. Now, granted, if you're from the Middle East and you're used to that climate, it might be easier for you. I have family who now live in Houston, Texas, and they say after a while you get used to the heat. But that being said, imagine Mary, who is now pregnant, and she's in the first trimester, and I understand in the first trimester it can be kind of challenging, right? With morning sickness and the other things. And so Mary, going all the way from Nazareth to Ein Kerem to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And what we have here is this beautiful wall, and on it we have the Magnificat in different languages. Here it is in English. And one of the things that struck me about this wall is the following. Our Catholic faith has gone all over the world because at a particular time, in a particular place, particular people chose to respond to God. And because Mary chose to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, she was able to sing that great canticle of praise, the Magnificat. The Magnificat! Priests say it every day. Nuns say it every day. People who do the liturgy of the hours at evening prayer say the Magnificat. The Magnificat. It so inspired Johann Sebastian Bach that he wrote a remarkable setting of the Magnificat. The Magnificat. It so inspired Monteverdi that he wrote what are called the Vespers. And the last part of the Vespers is the setting of Mary's song. The Magnificat, St. Peter's Parish, on the 31st of May in the year 2019, began our Mass by singing it. The Magnificat, Mary's song, where she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Because although her life was incredibly hard, and may I suggest her life was much harder than ours? Imagine what it would have been like to live in the first century. Imagine the challenges of just daily living. But Mary was so inspired by God that she went to Ein Kerem, where meeting her cousin Elizabeth, they did something of great importance. In our gospel today, St. Luke, who is a master storyteller, is retelling the story of the Ark of the Covenant. Because you see, in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, in the book of 2 Samuel, we are told the story of David, going through the hill country of Judea, and he's brought to the point where he takes the ark into the city of Jerusalem. But before he does that, the ark stays for 3 months in the home of Obed-Edom. Just as Mary, for 3 months, stayed in the home of her cousin Elizabeth. And in that reading from the gospel, we have what seems to be a very ordinary word. It's the word exclaim. And Elizabeth exclaimed, blessed are you among women. But do you know that this is the only time in the New Testament that this verb is used? And the only time this verb is used in the Old Testament is 5 times in the book of Chronicles. And in the book of Chronicles, this verb exclaimed is used always in relation to the Levitical priests as they're doing what? As they are worshiping the Lord before the Ark of the Covenant. And we're told that Elizabeth is a descendant of Aaron. Who was Aaron? He was the high priest. Who was Aaron? He is the first of the Levitical line that exclaimed the praises of God in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. The very thing that Elizabeth does in the presence of the Savior. And remember when David goes into the city, what does he do as he brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem? He dances before the Ark. What does John the Baptist do in the womb of his mother? He leaps for joy. This is a remarkable story because it definitively affirms for us that St. Luke, who never uses the word explicitly that Mary is the Ark of the Covenant, by the way he tells the story, he is wanting us to affirm this reality. And so when we think of this remarkable day, the Feast of the Visitation, it celebrates the wonderful gift of two women who are doing something that is very ordinary. One woman coming to visit another woman, both of whom are pregnant. And through the events of their everyday lives, are aware that they are caught up in the reality of salvation history, the story of God working in and through them. One of the beautiful things about our Catholic faith is that we love to party. We also love to have penitential seasons. But that there is a way that our faith, because we have days like the 31st of May, the Feast of the Visitation, allow us to say that life is a profound and precious gift, where God invites us into this deepening of relationship with one another, and thereby are deepening our relationship with him. Isn't that a beautiful painting? Now look at this, that we have here a beautiful depiction of the apse in this church at Ein Carim, and where we see Our Lady being surrounded by, I think those are angels above, and here we have Father Jerome, Father Jonathan, and Deacon Troy celebrating Mass at this beautiful basilica. On this last picture here, this is a beautiful shot, and I thought it's so appropriate that we took this picture at the church at Ein Carim. Do you know who these ladies are? These are parishioners, of course, of St. Peter's, but they're all members of our Catholic Women's League. And I end with this photograph because I want to suggest to you that in a particular way, the CWL embodies the charism of Mary. That charism, whereby, as St. Luke tells us, she went with haste. She went with purpose and with determination in order to fulfill God's purpose for her. And I thought, I couldn't think of a better picture to use as a representation of what this day is all about. I love the Catholic Women's League. And partly that's because I'm their spiritual advisor for the diocese. But in becoming the spiritual advisor for the CWL, I've come to an appreciation of the purposefulness with which they live. That the song of the CWL is, in a sense, the Magnificat. Our soul magnifies the Lord. Our spirit rejoices in God, our Savior. And one of the things that we celebrate on this particular day is the fact that this summer, the National Convention for the CWL is being held here in Calgary. And this hasn't happened since the early 2000s. So any woman who is here and is a member of the CWL, I encourage you to register. I encourage you to take the opportunity to go with haste to the Hyatt Regency Hotel and to participate with 900 women from across Canada to celebrate our Catholic faith, to celebrate the gift of what it is to be women who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me conclude by referring back to our reading from Romans, where Paul said, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection." I love this next line. "Outdo one another in showing honor." Isn't that great? We're not to outdo one another and trying to say, "I'm better than you are," to show off. No, we are out to outdo one another in showing honor to the other person. That's what the story of the Visitation is all about. the Mother of God traveling all the way to Ein Kerem. And then Luke just sort of throws in the line at the end, and then after 3 months, she went home. To then, within months, get back on that donkey and travel all the way to Bethlehem. Don't we have an amazing mother? Isn't the Catholic faith fantastic? Because it shows us, through story, through history, what it is to outdo one another in showing honor. And I'm looking forward to the National Convention, because all around us, we're going to see women outdoing one another in showing honor. I'm sure there'll be challenges and difficulties and the need to die to self as well, because that's all part of it. But may we be inspired this day to stand with these women, to stand with St. Peter's Parish, to stand with Catholics around the world, and to celebrate the gift that says, Our Lady is with us, Our Lady inspires us, and prays for us that we would become more like her.